welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start with a passage here in Psalms chapter 144, and it says this. The psalmist is just kind of perplexed, and he cries out in amazement, and he says, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you're mindful of him? Man, it's like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." Okay, the Living Bible says, "Oh Lord, what is man that you even notice him? Why bother at all with the human race? For man is but a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." In other words, the psalmist is looking up, observing the glory, the creation, the majesty of creation, and just saying, "What is man?" You know, and we know a lot more now, technically, than what even the psalmist knew back then. We can peer out with our telescopes, and we can find that as you look out into the vastness of creation, there are estimated 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. Okay, we live in the Milky Way galaxy. So when you look up at the night sky and see that kind of that milky whitish path through the sky, that's us. That's our galaxy. Okay, now our galaxy alone has 100 billion stars estimated just in our galaxy. So there is, generally speaking, an estimate of 200 trillion billion, that's how they put it, stars, you know, in the galaxy. You think about this and it's like, wow, just the vastness and the hugeness. You know, and even within our galaxy, there's estimated about right around 4,000 solar systems. All right, now our solar system, you know, our sun, the sun is our star. One star. Our solar system, okay? So if you can just start to even get a sense of proportion of how big everything is. And I mean, you think as God navigates this huge universe of 2 trillion galaxies, gets down to the Milky Way galaxy, and then of that 100 billion stars gets and 4,000 solar systems gets down to our solar system, and then our planet. I mean, and then here we are. What is man that you're mindful of him? Boy, talk about an interesting why God question. Why do you bother with us? Why are you mindful of us? A very interesting why God question. And it's this why God question that we're going to endeavor to answer as we look at what I'm calling this morning the mystery of God's love. There's a mystery of God's love. You're looking up and saying, why? Again, it's a why God question. So this is not so much a whodunit mystery, it's a why done it mystery. Why did this happen? Why? But here's the cool thing, because we get clues to this mystery throughout the Word of God as to why God is so intimately desiring to be mindful of us. There's an answer to that question. And as we answer that question, as we look at the clues, we begin to discover our own value to God in the answer of the psalmist's question. But there is an element of mystery to this. You know, the psalmist is going, wow, and us, okay. So we're going to look at that. We're going to endeavor to solve a mystery this morning. And it's the, again, the why God, answering a good why God question. Why does he love us so much? Why is he so mindful of us? Well, there's a few, again, few pieces of evidence I want to submit to you as clues to answer this question. The first one is this, the evidence of image, okay? You bear his resemblance. Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there's an image that we have. You know, as we're talking about the vastness of creation, as you begin to look down even further into our earth, there is nearly 1 million species of just insects, just bugs. Million. I mean, you start getting into the plants and the animals and all, I mean, just the stunning creativity of everything like that. It's just amazing. And he's mindful of us. Now, when you, we can kind of experience this a little bit, I think, on kind of a, just a human, natural family level, or people that you know. You know, you could be out somewhere, and you can appreciate different things about people and what they can do and stuff like that, talents and abilities, but there's something about seeing someone you know, your child, your friend, that makes your heart take notice, that gives attention, you know, especially if it's family. If there's family resemblance. I know, I can't remember who it was, but one of the ultrasounds, we saw a little turned up nose of one of our girls. We thought, that's Julie's, got Julie's nose. All right, from the ultrasound. It's like, and that's, you know, wow. And it was, it's just like, you know, you're like, you're kind of like me. You know, there's a resemblance, there's a connection there. And again, as God looks out at creation, he sees the bugs, he sees the animal, he sees everything, and then he sees us walking around. We're different from all creation. The raccoon was not made in his image. We were made in his image. We were made in the image of Almighty God. That's a pretty astounding thought. That we were made in a way that has us uniquely, that gives us a unique ability to fellowship with God. Just here's another kind of quick little, I guess, I'll just call it a for example of our amazing creator that's unique to us. The human brain, the center of the human nervous system, highly complex organ, over 3 times as large as the brain of a typical mammal with an equivalent body size, especially expanded on the frontal lobes, which involve the executive functions such as self-control, planning, reasoning, and abstract thought. The portion of the brain devoted to vision is also greatly enlarged in human beings. The human brain has is estimated to contain 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars in our galaxy. These cells pass to each other via approximately 100 trillion synaptic connections. The brain monitors and regulates the body's actions and reactions, continually receives sensory information, rapidly analyzes this data, then responds, controlling bodily actions and functions. Wow. Boy, if you know anything about technology, you couldn't pull anything like that off without some kind of creative design. That doesn't just happen by accident. You don't coordinate 100 trillion synaptic communications by accident. There was an amazing designer and creator behind just our, this is just our brain we're talking about, just one aspect. It is just incredible, the stunning detail that God made us. The psalmist again cries out along these lines, you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. What is the psalmist again declaring, he's just declaring the amazing design, creative design of God. There is something different about us. There is something special about man that is unique. We were created in his image. I like to think of it this way. I've said it. When the deer and the antelope play, they are not up looking at the moon, considering and contemplating how the gravitational pull of the moon affects our ocean tides. They haven't written any books on that. We think about that kind of stuff. We obsess over that stuff. There's something different about us. We're unique. We're created in the image of Almighty God. When these little creatures move around the earth, there's something different and special about that. You know, you could be on a safari looking for different animals. Oh, I got this one. Check that one off my list and different things like that. Boy, you go on a God creation safari and you see a human being. That's, wow, created in the image of God. Why is he mindful of us? Well, we talked about it this morning. Man is what God became. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Praise God. God became a man. Merry Christmas. This is what we're getting ready to celebrate. Right? He didn't become, again, a porcupine. He didn't become a chimpanzee. He became a man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing... Why is he mindful of us? We are what he became. God became a man. I mean, again, you think about it. God, who occupies space outside our universe that he created, comes through these 2 trillion galaxies to our galaxy, to our solar system, to our planet, and the one whom through all things were made, all 2 trillion galaxies were made, and without him, not one of those stars was made. He became flesh on this planet as a human being. What is man that you're mindful of him? We are created in the image of Almighty God. You have his attention by right of creation. You're like him. You bear his image. There's a resemblance about you. And if you know him as Savior, if you've called upon his name and you've become a Christian, praise God. Jody brought it out in worship earlier this morning, but if any person is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation altogether. This is talking about your inward spirit, man. Not just your body being formed in the image, but your spirit. Your new creation altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, what is man that you're mindful of him? You're a creation that was formed in his image. And as a believer, you're born again and recreated in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness with good works, a plan that he's ordained you to walk in. You have his attention in a marvelous way. You are in his image. You bear a resemblance. So as we're talking about the mystery of God's love, what is man? Why are you mindful of him? Well, he created us. We're created in the image, and we can be amazed, we can be impressed, we can give glory. The creation declares the glory of God. We can glorify God, but we got to realize in his creation, God has made us in a unique place. We have a place in God's heart by right of creation. He made us in his image. We are what he became to redeem us, to save us. So that's I guess I would just say a little piece of evidence number one. You kind of look like him. You resemble him. Jesus came to this earth. Jesus looked so much like any other person that it was offensive that he could be considered God. Who does he think he is? He's just a man, and he thinks he's God. It's not like he glowed, walked around glowing with a halo over his head. Not at all. I mean, it was uncanny how much he was just like us. I mean, even his own disciples, you know? They said, because Jesus kept saying, the Father in me, the Father does the work. The Father, I just say what I hear the Father say, I do what I see the Father do. I haven't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. He kept referring back to the Father. And then finally at the end, they said, show us the Father. We want to see the Father. And that's where Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the express image of the Father. But he's a person, human being. Amazing to think that. And that one day, our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. He got a glorious body. We're going to have one just like him, but he came just like us. So we have a resemblance to God, who we are as human beings. Evidence number two is the evidence of attention. And I'm calling this, it's an evidence of attention, the battle for your authority. This body gives you authority on the earth. It's limited time only. It's tied to the ability of your physical heart to beat. Once your heart stops beating down here, you lose your physical authority down here. You gotta go. While you're down here, you have authority. While you're down here, it's a vapor. Our lives are a vapor in the face of eternity, absolutely. But while we're down here, this life is so precious. There's a unique position we have in this point in time by simply being alive that makes us very special to the spiritual kingdom, being down here. Again, here's God's. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. There is such an attitude of attention that God has for us. We see the attention that God gives to man. I heard somebody put it once this way, you know, well, I've heard a few different ways. You know, God loves us, he's for us. If God was out to get us, he would have got us by now, right? All right. And also, when man fell, if God wanted us, didn't want us, all God would have had to do is nothing. He could have just stepped away. And we would have went the trajectory of the God we chose. But the Bible says Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. But we have the attention of God. We're there. You know, when you look at your Bible, you know what the Bible represents? Attention. These are words that were not written by the will of man. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These words are inspired by God. This represents his attention. This represents attention from God coming to man to talk to us, to communicate to us. It is an amazing thought. It's not just that God loves you. He loves you. That's what we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks. He loves you, but you have his attention. If you can think of, you know, if you can think of if a person's right there and somebody's just going like this, just totally looking at him. That's how God unleashes his divine character of omnipresence. He can do that with all of us at the same time. We can't, but he can. He can multitask. 8 billion people at once. You have his attention. When we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's talking to me and you. Everyone else is in heaven. We're here. We have the unique ability for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven because we have a body. We have his attention. But it also helps to answer another question because as I've looked at it, I've thought, you know, as I'm going through my Christian walk and Christian life and struggles, and attacks and different things like that, it makes me ask the question too, what is man that the devil is so mindful of him? Come on. I'm just a little guy on a planet of 8 billion people. You know, go pick on somebody else. I'm nothing, really. Why? Why do everything have to line up for this little, I'm just, really? Yeah, because you're that big of a deal. You're not just that big of a deal to God. You're that big of a deal to the enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're going on a track for God, and there's invisible forces at work trying to get access to you. They want to have influence over you. Why? Why did those demon spirits really prefer the madman of Gadara to the pigs? Well, they went in the pigs, you know, and they made a splash in the water, but it's not the kind of impact they want to make. The influence in pigs isn't that big of a deal, but you have influence over a man. That whole city was in fear because of one man that was under his influence. There was control because he took influence over a creature who's made in the image of Almighty God. You are the best thing in town. You're the best game in town. That's why you got to deal with them. Because there's something special about you. You're made in the image of Almighty God. What is man that you're mindful of him? You're made in the image of Almighty God. You walk in this earth with authority in this earth, with dominion that God's given you in this earth. Your influence is precious. It's precious to God for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's powerful to the enemy. So he can influence and have his way through you. You know, again, possessing an animal, that doesn't have the impact. It's a human being. Human beings are the precious fruit of the enemy's kingdom for his evil control. He wants human beings. That's why he fights us. He's not, you know, fighting you over something, you're standing in faith. That's why this is what we got to deal with. And I love it how Peter puts it too. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Doesn't say Jesus. Of course, he's Jesus' adversary, but he personalizes it and says, your adversary, the devil, as a believer, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What's he doing? He's roaring. That's the thing when you're, you know, like Paul said, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. You got powers and principalities. That's the thing that can make you feel schizophrenic sometimes, right? You want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but then I do the wrong thing. The one who wants to do right does the wrong thing. And what? You're going back and forth. Really what you're doing when you're experiencing that, you're wrestling. You're not schizophrenic. You're wrestling is what you're doing. You're going in one track, and then you see something, it triggers you to another track, and then what do? You have to fight a good fight of faith as you're wrestling to stay on the right track. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a believer who's under attack. You experience these things. Why? Because you have influence. You have a unique place of influence in time right now that you will never have quite like this again. You are in the middle of an epic adventure where you're experiencing things. You have God who wants to use you in powerful ways, and you have an enemy that wants to shut you down. Why all the attention on us? Why do human beings experience so much? There was a little animated cartoon made out of a very famous book called Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And there's a little segment in that animated cartoon that I want us to watch this morning. It's just a little four-minute deal. But it's a cartoon where, and if you know anything about Pilgrim's Progress, it's a big allegory. It's all symbolism, but you can see something in real life that kind of helps connect the dots, okay? Well, in this part of, in Pilgrim, he starts out doesn't know the Lord. He's got the big burden. He comes to Christ, but now he's living for God. And in this part of Pilgrim's Progress, his journey of living for God, where we are today, trying to live for God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, dealing with our own dumbness and dealing with attacks and all that kind of stuff, juggling it and trying to live for God. Well, it's kind of that, and it's put to a story. And this is a clip. It's called The Castle of Despair. Okay? Now, in The Castle of Despair, he gets here because he and his companion are walking the path for the Lord. It's all going good. And Pilgrim sees a way he could do a shortcut. He goes, "It's just over that bend. Why do we have to do the big path? Let's just go across the knoll. We'll be on the other side. We'll get there quicker, right?" He talks his companion into it. And lo and behold, they run into some giants who capture him. And so that's where this scene picks up. They're kind of caged. They're in a cage, trapped by these big giants. And, of course, Pilgrim is lamenting his dumb idea.
How long has it been? 6 days. No food, no water. This is all my fault.
We've discussed this so many times already.
But it was my idea.
And I agreed to it. You must really try and get that out of your mind.
Just one more step, and the fever you're doomed.
We're doomed, you and I.
What?
Have you seen the bones down there?
I honestly don't want to.
We're dead.
Let's just hope he doesn't come down again.
Oh, no. I don't think I can take this much longer.
What? Are you still alive? I gave you everything you needed to do the job. Knives, clubs, rope. What more could I do? Why didn't you do yourselves in? And now you've got me very up.
What happened?
Did he just faint?
Not again.
Oh, dear.
I should have listened to me mum when she warned me to marry you. Could have had me pick of any eligible giant being the beauty I was, but no. I had to pick the pretty one I did. Now look at you. Fainting like an old woman any time you get the slightest bit worked up. Why, I are
Why didn't she just kill us? Just get it over with.
Because she can't.
What? Did you see her hands? She could crush us with her little finger.
That's just it. They can, but they can't. Why didn't I see it before?
I really have no idea what you mean.
Look. Up there, near the ceiling, what do you see?
Skulls. A big skull, a bigger skull.
No, in the middle, the coat of arms. It's the name of this realm, this castle.
Desperatio.
The Castle of Despair. That's why they want us to kill ourselves. That's why we can't get out.
Wait. I don't think I understand.
What did the giant say? I gave you everything to do the job. Don't you see? They can't kill. They can only make the situation so miserable that you do it yourself. There's always been a way of escape for you, hasn't there? There's got to be some way out. There's got to be.
No hope. No hope. No hope. No hope. No hope.
That was me. That was me in the cage.
Now I'm the one in the dark.
What is the opposite of despair?
I don't know.
Hope! What is that? The way out!
Scott saying he didn't have anything to do with that. All right. Yeah, it really is a pretty captivating little animated story, but I love that little segment because to me, what we're dealing with is so much that. Big, giant, situations, drama, just too big. I just can't handle it. And all it is, there's powers, there's principalities, there's roars to try to make you think, I can't. And that cage can be a lot of things. It could be a cage of fear. It could be a cage of bitterness. It could be a cage of self-hatred. It could be a cage of a lot of things that the enemy roars like a roaring lion. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to devour you. He's keeping you in a cage, giving you a sense of insignificance during your time down here. This is your time. You're here. This is your time where you have authority in the earth. And you see the way he works. He just wants to shut you down so you stay like that. But there's a hope that'll get you out of your cage. There's a hope that God has for you. There's a hope that you find in his love. That all the narratives, all the roars, there's a hope that can unlock and get you out of any cage, the love of Jesus Christ. You know that God is for you. He'll forgive. He'll have your back. He'll be for you. He'll protect you. He'll intercede for you. It is a moment where we realize, man, I'm being played. These things are designed to play me so I don't realize my own significance. I mean, when you think of the world and the hate and the cutting and the suicide, the sense of insignificance, that's what it's all designed for, to keep you in that cage. And it's an illusion. There's an illusion there that hope can get you out of. Hope, the love of Jesus Christ, can open that door. And you think, my drama, and this big, and they said this, and they did that. God can show you, contrast the big drama of your life next to the big purpose that he has for you. And all of a sudden, who said what, and the unfair and unfair, all of a sudden, all that doesn't matter anymore. I'm made for bigger stuff than that. That stuff isn't going to keep me down my few years I get down here. Man, God loves me. God's for me. I'm not staying in that cage. There's some, now that's the way the enemy does. He roars at you from the outside. God does his thing in a different way. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, he's gonna stir something in you. There's gonna be an inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit that'll lead and guide you into all truth. There will be a desire for things. He'll give you a willingness and a desire, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. That's how our God does it. He will use us, and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus came, he said, I haven't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before he went to that cross, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. Boy, powerful things that we as human beings can do in the earth. And Satan isn't safe from anyone. I came to Christ through a little kid who was born in a satanic home. And for all rights, should have been written off any list of concern for the kingdom of darkness. That little boy ended up going to New York City, became a gang leader. I mean, you would think Satan, of all people, Satan shouldn't have to worry about him. Little preacher comes into his town, preaches the gospel, he gets saved, gang leader, turns into a huge evangelist. Again, I came to the Lord through his ministry. The guy's name is Nicky Cruz. Nobody's safe. We are what keeps Satan up at night, me and you. Because anyone, think about it. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We're still getting a revelation of it. That's why he can only devour you if he may. But praise God, when we realize there's an evidence. Why are you so mindful of us, God? Man, like we said, you're the best game in town. Either for the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of darkness. You have a body. You have influence. We talk a lot about in our day and age influencers. I want to be an influencer. And how many people an influencer? Where does that really come from? I'll tell you what. We want to be God's influencer. We want to be an influencer for the kingdom of God. There's a battle for your influence going on. And that's where we get out of that cage. I'm not going to get locked up in there. I'm getting out of this cage. I remember getting kind of a revelation of that once too. And I was related to this, but I had a dream one night. And I played football in high school. And I was in my dream, I was back on the football field in Carson Park under the lights Friday night. You know, Eau Claire North. And thinking, man, I'm young again. I'm here. I'm playing football. This is amazing. And you know how those dreams can be so real. And I'm playing. It was fun. I just loved it. And then I woke up, and I was old again. Thought, oh, that was so fun. Well, it lasted, you know. I've had dreams, too, where I'm laughing, and I'll say, Julie, don't wake me up if I'm laughing in the middle of a dream. Doesn't happen very often. Just let me enjoy it. But you get those dreams, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. And I remember waking up and thinking, oh, I'm old again. But the Spirit of the Lord just checked me and said, you know, Ed, you're here on this earth. It's Friday night. It's Carson Park. You're under the lights. This is your time. This is your time. It goes as a vapor. I mean, day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Our lifespan is about a 2 to 2.5 hour movie in God time. Our lives are precious. Why is God so mindful of us? Because we're here now. We have influence now. You can decide. There's a key that can just get you out of that. You can just make a decision. I'm a spirit being. I am a new creation. And I have a free will. And I'm just going to act with my free will according to the Spirit and the Word of God. There's a bunch of soul junk I don't even have to work through. I can just decide to choose right, to do right, to live right. There is some soul work you don't have to do. There is some soul work that's a distraction to the Spirit. When you do the Spirit stuff, it'll make you free in your soul. There's a Spirit walk. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are spiritual keys that we can turn to get us out of that cage. You could stay in that cage with years and years of even Christian psychology and stuff that'll keep you in a cage and never take certain spiritual steps of faith. There are decisions of the Spirit that we have to make. There's a song the Newsboys came out with. It's kind of a little bit of a sobering song, but I'll tell you what, it's one that just gets me. This is not a warm-up round. It's not a trial heat. It can't be repeated when your time is gone. It's not an infinite resource or the prelude to a starter course. You don't send it back if it gets done wrong. This is your life. Treat yourself right. Treat others right. Live like you know you should. This is life. Fight the good fight. Fight for what's right. Do what you know you should. Every living soul contemplates a finite number of heartbeats. This is not the sum of what you're here for. Every breath you take will be exhaled. Every rising sun will fall. The measure of it all is what you live for. You had a dream, but it got lost in a life of regret. See that cage scene? The devil knows you get just one shot. You had a dream. Are you still dreaming, or did you forget that heaven's calling for your best shot? This is your life. Treat yourself right. Treat others right. There's a sobering thought. This is my time. This is my time that I'm down here. I can make some grown-up decisions from the inside in my heart that I'm going to live for God from my heart. I'm not doing it for anybody else or to hit anybody else's hoops or making everybody have to hit my hoops. This is about God. I love him. He loves me. The final point just has to do with the evidence of value, the price that God paid. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. These are just price scriptures. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man would someone even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is this? This is value. Knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like gold and silver from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is what it cost our Father to get us back. And finally, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You were bought with a price. And what do you pay for something? You pay something for what it's worth. The gold and the silver. The reason why God couldn't accomplish on the cross through gold and silver is because all the gold and the silver couldn't compare with your value. The blood, the cup you hold in your hand represents your value to God. What is man that you're mindful of him? You're valuable to him. You couldn't be redeemed with gold and silver. Had to be through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's a mystery of God's love. Why? Why, God? Look at the vastness of your creation. Us little creatures. We're not even the biggest of your creatures. You've made creatures bigger than us, stronger than us. But there's something special about us. We're made in the image of Almighty God. We bear a resemblance to the Creator. Man, we'll understand this one day. You know, we know in part, right? But in the part we do know, it's pretty cool. It's okay, wow, that's amazing. The God of all the universe. We're made in his image. We know it by faith. We're going to see some at point face to face. The evidence of attention. There's a battle for your authority, for your influence in the earth. The reason why you get up and the battle of the mind, the battle of the mind. Look past that just for a second. There's players going on here. And you're a piece on the board right now. And we belong to God. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. God, by going to the cross, we're his by right of creation. We fell, but then he bought us back through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're his. He purchased us. We owe it to him. I love how Romans 12 puts it. It says, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that we can prove, not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to that kingdom. Don't let your mind be influenced, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can be doing the will of God, bearing fruit for the kingdom of God in the earth. It's important to see ourselves sometimes in the big picture. I know it's just like a 30,000-foot flyover of the epic adventure you're in. And make sure you're not letting some little soap opera drama keep you in a cage. You're made for bigger things than that. You can forgive yourself out of that cage and get back in the game. Praise God. You have purpose. You have a destiny. There's a mystery of God's love. He is mindful of you for a reason. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Not just that you love us, but just the amazing mystery of your love. In the face of everything, in the face of the magnificent creation you've created, that you've made, that we stand out as being made in your image. Oh, Lord, go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm amazed, just like the psalmist, that you have thoughts toward me, that your attention is toward me. But I declare that I know I am made in your image. That's amazing. And I believe it. I'm special to you. I resemble you. Thank you for this gift of life. I know there's a battle for my attention, for what I'm going to do with these days that I have on the earth. I determined today I'm getting out of every cage so I can live for you. You provide the hope. You provide the forgiveness. You provide the grace. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to live for you because I'm valuable to you. You paid a price, Lord Jesus Christ. You bought me. I'm yours, and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You're loved by God. You're precious to Him. And there's a reason He's mindful of you. There's a reason He cares for you. He made you. He created you. And again, as a believer, He recreated you. My goodness. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We're blessed. And we remember that this morning. Praise God. So be encouraged. And don't let anything or anyone steal your sense of significance during your time. This is your night. It is Friday night. You are under the lights. The game is on. It's only a couple hour game in God time. But what a precious game it is. Amen. Praise God.